Lord, to be that which holds us up, God, so that we can be that which you have called us to be, that salt, that beacon on the hill, that light in the darkness. Oh, God, this is what we're asking. This is what we pray. This is what we're asking, Lord. This is what we're waiting on, God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And we say amen. 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 Ashe, 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 amen. You may be seated, all right. And now, we're going to go through our guiding ideals. The guiding ideals of Ma'at as well as the Nguza Saba. And that's going to be led by our own Mariah Slaughter. Give her a big hand as she comes forward.
Morning. All right. We're going to start with the principles of Ma'at. If you could please stand while we go through this, please. Thank you. All right. I'll say the word. You repeat it after me, and I'll give you a brief definition of what that means to us. All right. Truth. Truth is the absence of lies, falsehoods, and fakery. It is the presence of honest and open communication among the mighty and the holy people of God. Justice. Justice is when the people that need the most help get the most help. Order. Order is acting with the aim of honoring the agreed upon norms and the best practices that we have identified as helpful to the flourishing of our people. Harmony. Harmony is maintaining the legacy and the creativity of being able to be your own unique self while seamlessly expressing yourself as a part of the group. So that's different notes blended all together to make one beautiful composition. Righteousness. Righteousness is right thoughts, right actions, resulting in right relationality among others who are striving to be in relationship with divinity. Balance. Balance is living a robust life tempered by wisdom, wherein curiosity and satisfaction are mediated by moderation and circumspection. All right. Reciprocity. Reciprocity is understanding that giving, planting, and serving results in receiving harvest and reaping in every aspect of people activity. And that was the principles of my eye. Can I have a hand clap? Praise for that, please. And we're going to move on with the virtues of my eye. And we'll say these together on the count of three. All right. One, two. I forgot. One, two, three. Control of thoughts, control of actions, devotion to one's purpose, faith in your teacher's ability to teach truth, faith in myself to assimilate the truth, faith in myself to wield the truth, freedom from resentment under persecution, freedom from resentment under wrong, ability to distinguish right from wrong, ability to distinguish real from unreal. Again, that was the virtues of my eye. All right, and that's just putting the power and the control back in your hands, letting you know what you have always accessible to you. So we're going to move on to the Nguza Saba. I'll say the Swahili word. You repeat after me. We'll move on to the English word and continue with the phrasing. All right, until we get to the end. With some power on it. Ashe. All right. Umoja. Unity. To strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Kuji Chakalia. Self-determination. To define ourselves. Name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our communities and make our sisters and brothers' problems our problems and to solve them together. Ujima, cooperative economics to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. Nia. our collective vocation, the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Kaumba. Creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Imani. Faith. To believe with all our hearts in our Creator, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle.
Thank you.
Let me invite you to the altar for prayer. This morning,
I lift my hands in total adoration unto you.
You reign on the throne.
For you are God
and God alone.
Because of you,
my
cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you
this song.
I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Oh, I lift my hand in total adoration.
Gentlemen, sisters, and brothers, would you hear the prayers of Reverend J.E. Slaughter?
Merciful.
Thank you, Lord.
Master.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God Almighty. we are assembled this morning only because of truth. It is the truth of your birth. It is the truth of your life. It is the truth of your death and your subsequent resurrection, which causes us today in unification to remember you as our Lord and our God. We thank you this morning because you're most merciful and mindful of us. So much so that on one occasion it was asked, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? We thank you today, Master, for your protection. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your sustenance. We thank you today, Master, because you are our God and we are your children. We see a world today that is in anguish. We see a world that is in anxiety. We see a world that is unsettled today. But we know you, Master, as a peace of mind. We know you today, Master, to have an ability to calm raging seas. And if you calm the raging sea, you can calm our raging dispositions. Now we pray for Israel. We pray for Palestine. We pray for every upheaval in every corner of this world. And then, Master, we pray even for situations that are in existence in other worlds. We know you to be a God of all. We ask you to heal our bodies, heal our minds, restore us, give us the spirit of brotherhood and togetherness. And if you do that, Master, we will be most successful in our desires and in our willingness to be who you have called us to be in these last and evil days. We thank you now. We praise your name mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love you, Jesus.
Oh, I worship.
I worship and adore you.
I want to tell you.
I want to tell you.
Lord, I love you, yeah. Lord, I love you, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Slaughter, for that prayer. Y'all put your hands together for God right now. It's a blessing to be alive today. Glad to see each and every one of your faces this morning. It's a blessing to see you, and it's a blessing for you to be here. I want you to know I love you, and I thank God for each of you. Your presence means so much, and you're a gift to the beloved. You are the beloved. I was out last week But I understand that y'all had a great time in the Lord, as Reverend Slaughter shared last week. And today, we're going to be blessed to hear from our minister, Reverend James Knight. And then next Sunday, you're going to hear from Reverend Slaughter again. It's a blessing to be able to step away from the microphone for a Sunday or two and to allow the Spirit to flow through my brethren who have a word from the Lord as well as I do. And I thank God for them and their willingness to share, and for your willingness to gather and to hear them. I thank God. Why don't you give yourselves a great big hand? Now, it's time for our Sankofa moment. And I want you to put your hands together for my dear brother, Quay, two times as he comes.
God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. How you like that? Sankofa moment, a time where we look back out of respect, not letting love go unacknowledged, representing in the present, not letting the pain go unseen, and planning, plotting, and also strategizing for the future, not letting the blood, sweat, and tears that were shed fade. Ashe. Ashe. Word for you is obedience. Obedience. Heart that was given from the Lord wouldn't steer you wrong, so obey it. Ashe. Ashe. All right. Today's Sankofa moment person is Horace King. Horace King, born enslaved on September 8th, 1807, in South Carolina, was a successful bridge architect and builder in West Georgia, Northern Alabama, and Northeast Georgia from the 1830s to the 1870s. King plantation owner John Godwin owned a successful construction business. Godwin treated King as a valued employee and gave him considerable influence over the business. King supervised many of the construction sites. In 1832, King led the crew that built Moore's Bridge, the first bridge crossing the lower Chattahoochee River in northwest Georgia. By the 1840s, King designed and supervised construction of major bridges at Wetumpka, Alabama, and Columbus, Mississippi, without Godwin's supervision. In 1839, Horace King married Frances Thomas and raised five children. King's children eventually joined the construction project. In 1841, King supervised the construction of Russell County Courthouse in Alabama. Despite the success of the company, Godwin fell into debt. King was emancipated by Godwin on February 3, 1846, to avoid his seizure by creditors. King continued to work for Godwin's construction company. Upon Godwin's death in 1859, King assumed full control of business. During the Civil War, King continued to work on construction projects, usually for the Confederacy. King's construction business prospered after the war. He worked to reconstruct bridges, textile mills, cotton warehouses, and public buildings destroyed during the war. Horace passed the family business to his son, John Thomas King. Horace King was elected as a Republican to the Alabama House of Representatives, serving from 1870 to 1874. Horace died Chorus King died on May 28th, 1885 in LaGrange, Georgia. I give it up for our ancestors.
It's offering time, sisters and brothers. Let's pull what we got together and prepare it to bring as a gift unto the Lord and into this church. We need your gifts. We need your offerings. We need your tithes. And we need you to give cheerfully, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So place your hand on what you got to give and stand up to your feet and be led by your ushers. Let me hear you say blessings on the gifts and on the givers. We pray that that which is given would be transformed and become more than enough so that we would be able to share. In the name of sweet black Jesus, I ask us and I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. In the midnight hour, God
is
going to work.
It's going to work in your favor.
Round and around. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when I go. The Lord is blessing me right now. Right now. Right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. Right now, right now, oh, right now, with every breath in my body, right now, yeah, the Lord is blessing me, right now, somebody say right now, right now, oh, right now, the Lord is blessing me right now. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me. The Lord is blessing me right now. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, put your hands together for the Beloved Community Orchestra and Chorale as they come in their own way under the direction of Brother Leon Amos. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. praise. We come to praise. We come to praise.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you a 2013 graduate of the Morehouse School of Religion with a Master of Divinity degree, a true man of God, and a preacher after God's own heart. Why don't you put your hands together and show love for our dear brother, Reverend James Knight, as he comes in his own way.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so, so much. Oh, I just gotta say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I gotta take a moment to just give into the joy. I just gotta take a moment to just give into the joy. Because what you just gave me was just joy, appreciation. And I just have to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. First, I've got to acknowledge the person in this room who has to deal with me. And I mean the real me, the 24-hour me. You know, the ones who cuts his toenails and leave the clippings on the floor. You know, the one who's and sometimes lets his passive aggressive slip out. But it's still yet, they're with me. The one who tells me that she loves me and she proves it every day, every year, no matter what's going on, she's there. Y'all, you know, there's reciprocity. You know, you reap what you sow, or you sow what you reap. But then sometimes God just gives you favor, okay? In other words, God just gives you that which you don't deserve. God just gives you that just because of God's just goodness, God's just grace. God just said, I'm just going to give this to you because I love you. And so, thank you, babe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to everybody else who's here, I am so thankful that you chose to spend your hour here this Sunday. You know, those who are my ride or die, those who call me up and say, what's wrong with you? I ain't heard from you. Where you at? Those who just are just there, who give a hug, who share, allow me this sacred honor of sharing their most personal space. And let me tell you, because everybody doesn't have to share, and to be honest with you, they shouldn't share. That's a sacred space. And you have to be careful who you allow in that space. And so when people allow you in that space, that's an intimate space. That's when they're choosing to be vulnerable before you because they trust you. They trust you. What they're saying is that I trust you. And so I thank you. Thank you. And I gotta say, I love Pete and Repeat. Amen. Thank you for not only coming, but bringing your most precious gift, your daughter, today. Amen. I just enjoyed watching y'all today. It was just so beautiful and so awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, and last but not least, the first should be last and the last should be first. Well, no, let me back up a little bit. First, Brother Jay, I consider it an honor that you chose to be here this Sunday to hear me. I'm scared now. But thank you. And then to the pastor of this house, our spiritual guide, the one who's not afraid to speak truth to power, to speak truth to us. The Reverend Dr. F. Keith Slaughter. Who gives us what he calls Slaughter's Four Ugly Truths. I can't go anywhere without repeating Slaughter's Four Ugly Truths. And I want to invite you that when you go anywhere, that you should share Slaughter's Four Ugly Truths. They're ugly, but they're true. And for those of you who may not know, let me just take a moment just to share that with you. The four ugly truths. Ugly truth number one, white people love white people. Ugly but true. Ugly truth number two, black people love white people. And there is something to that. There is something to that because, see, as parents, you know, you love your children. You love your children. No matter how bad they treat you, you still love them. Am I right? So, black people love white people. And then there's white people hate black people. A lot of that. And then, but here's the kicker. And that's why I tell the story for this one. Black people hate black people. And folk, to that, I want to encourage you. I want to ask you that we may not be able to do a lot about the first three, but we must change ugly truth number four. We must change our attitudes on ugly truth number four. Black people love black people. Black people, black people. Black people, black people. Black people, black people. Love black people. Black people, black people. Black people. Black people love black people. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Oh. Is it working? Praise God. If you would, come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 9 for your hearing. And I believe this is the Revised Standard Version. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And this is what Paul writes. This is what he's trying to communicate to Timothy. Do your best to come soon to me. Or rather, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. And Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is helpful to me in ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at Carpus, left with Carpus at Troas. also the books, and above all, the parchments, which means the papers. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me a great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must beware of him, for he strongly opposes our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me with his heavenly, for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I want to highlight in this, may it not be counted against him, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. You may be seated. And my title today, if I have to give it, is Freedom from Resentment Under Persecution. Freedom from resentment under persecution. My aunt has been dated back to some 2,375 years BCE, or before the Christian era. So this predates our New Testament. This predates many of our biblical writings, and even some would even go on to, might even suggest that our narratives come from or based out of these principles or these writings of my aunt. Now, who is my aunt, or what is my aunt? My aunt can be called the ancient Egyptian religion, and she is personified as a female, lovely, beautiful black woman, okay, who stands for or who brings truth, justice, and cosmic order. So when we talk about Maat, what we're talking about is one who brings truth, one who brings justice, one who brings order, one who brings harmony. In fact, when we look at the spelling, the Egyptian spelling of Maat, because you understand that the letters are actual pictures of something. And that's how the letters were made. And Maat is spelled with first a cleaver, okay, which stands for divinity. And so that M is standing for divinity. And then we have the Ah, okay? And the Ah, the symbol for that is an arm with a hand, okay? And what they're saying is that this is the thing that brings something, okay? And so what we have, if we have divinity, that's bringing something. So what Maat is spelling is that from divinity, from the upper heavens, from that which is beyond which you can reach. It is gonna bring you, it's gonna bring you something, okay? And then we have the okay, which is symbolized by a mound, okay? And what that mound is bread, food, that which sustains us, okay? Because if we don't have food, we can't continue, right? So when we spell Ma'at, what we're spelling, or what it is saying, is that from divinity, it brings to you that which is sustenance that you need to survive. So when you say Ma'at, what you're saying is that from on high, I am getting that which I need that will sustain me and keep me. That is what Ma'at is. So when I practice Ma'at, I am practicing that which keeps me. I am practicing that which sustains me. I am practicing that which allows me to continue on. And in the Egyptian context, you must understand that when they talk about I, they also talk about the we. Okay, because as you understand in Mbutu, the term Mbutu, I am because we are, and because we are, I am. So we always speak in context of the I in relationship to the we, and the we in relationship to the I. Because I can't be all right if you're not all right. And if you're all right, then I can be all right. So in the context of my art, what it's saying is that divinity is bringing down that substance to not only the I, but also to the we, all right? As somebody was pointed out in Freedom School this morning, when we talked about how you receive what you reap, and you somehow receive big, and it's like, well, what the verse says also goes and says, now what's also important is what you do with what you receive. And I had to remember the verse that said, too much is given, much is required. So in other words, if I get a lot, then I'm required to share, okay? When God blesses me, I'm required to do what? Spread it and share it, okay? Because, see, I can't have it all, and then you have nothing, okay? Because then we got problems. This is exactly what we're dealing with in the world. When people are so greedy, they want it all, they want to get it all, gather it all, store it all, and then be mad if somebody else acts. What, you want some of what I got? No, this is mine. So, my aunt is also, as she is the presenter of wisdom, she rules the universe, and she's also considered the judge of the dead, the influence of law, religion, and society. Truth, justice, order, harmony. Ma'at is depicted as a beautiful woman, and she's also in depiction, she has a scale. She also has an ostrich feather in her head, okay? But this ostrich feather is not there just for cosmetic, okay? Because here's what happens. It is the very tool that Osiris used in the Hall of Truth to judge the souls of the deceased of their worthiness, for their worthiness. As the legend goes, when an Egyptian dies, the process of mummification includes leaving the heart within the body. For they believe that the heart is considered the soul of the person. by which he or she will be judged in the afterlife. For in the afterlife, after death, Maat would judge the heart of the dead in the Osiris judgment hall of the dead. Once the dead reached the halls, Maat would weigh the heart or put the heart on one scale, and then she would take her ostrich feather and put it on the other scale. And then they will wait to see how it balanced out. And what they're looking for is how heavy is the heart? Is the heart so heavy that it's heavier than the feather and goes down? Or that the heart is either the weight of the feather or lighter than the feather? In other words, what they're saying here is that as you live your life and as you carry your life, you accumulate stuff in your heart, okay? And what he's saying, the ideology is that if you follow my art, okay, then your heart will not be burdened with these other things, as opposed to when you don't follow my art and you give your way to chaos, anger, fear, these things, what? Weigh down your heart, you know? And when you walk around with unforgiveness, your heart becomes heavy, okay? And this makes sense to me, because I can feel when I've done something that just ain't right, and I feel this heaviness, you know? So, you know, for me, this makes sense, you know? Because when you do something contrary to what's right, what's decent, okay, you don't feel so good. In fact, you feel kind of heavy. Am I right? All right. Don't you feel kind of like, oh man, you know, you don't walk. You walk a little slower. You feel kind of sluggish. Or sometimes, if you've done something real, real dirty, you got to go home and go to sleep because you're tired, because you're just carrying all this stuff. All right. And so, what this is saying is that what they believed is that as you carried your life, that what you did shows up in your heart, okay? And so it would be wise for you to be mindful of that, so that you would carry yourself in a way that when the end came and your death came, that you would be able to, what, as the Christians say, enter into heaven. Or what? Go to the other place, right? and I would even, you know, and it's not a big stretch to see how Christianity came about, this concept of eternal life versus eternal damnation, right? So, anyway, what makes the heart heavy? Chaos, confusion, things that bring harm to relationships, things that bring harm to love, things that bring harm to joy, things that corrupt reason. The enemies of truth, the enemies of balance, the enemies of justice, the enemy of order, and the enemy of harmony. I can tell the heaviness when I have been untruthful, when I have behaved badly. Maybe you all don't have this to happen to you, but I can feel this. The belief in living Maat was designed to keep the heart light for the afterlife. This is harmony. This is in harmony with our virtue of Ma'at, which is to will the freedom from resentment under persecution. So, why is this important? What's this all about? What happens when you are attacked? When somebody or someone in a group comes and attacks you, come after you, you know, you're trying to do right, you're trying to be decent, and there are folk who just make noise just to get your goat. You know, there are folk who, how you say, take your kindness for weakness and try to exploit it. As we said in the Freedom School, the golden rule, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Yeah, but sometimes, man, it's hard. And you want to change that thing to do unto them before they do unto you. Or do unto them as they do unto you, you know. But so the question is, what do you do? What do you do? How do you navigate this thing? What do you do? In our text, Paul, the Apostle Paul, found himself under attack. And this, you know, Paul was preaching the gospel, and not everybody accepted it. So being under attack wasn't a big thing for Paul. You have to understand. But this is here's the deal, though. You know, I can be attacked by everybody else, okay? But when those who are supposed to be my ride or dies, the ones who are supposed to be my friend, and I look up and looking for them and they gone, trouble comes, and instead of having them behind me, all I see are footsteps. And this is what Paul found himself. And Paul was just so distraught. He wrote a letter to Timothy and said, hey, man, you need to come here as quick as you can, because these guys right here have flipped on me. They have just lost it. And that's what the text is saying here. For Paul is saying, for what? Demas? And who he says is in love with the world, deserted him. Now I'll be honest with you, I don't think Paul was a guy who liked to snitch. You know, I don't think Paul was one of those guys. But you must understand, at least what I think is that this hurt him so bad. This cut him to the core that he just could not keep this in. I don't know, have you all ever been hurt so bad that you just can't keep it quiet? You know, you got to tell somebody. You know, you just got to get it out. Well, in this epistle, this is what's going on. Paul is being hurt to the core. He got six guys with him that are supposed to be with him, supposed to help him in this ministry. And he looks up, and four out of the six are gone, just left. And all he's got is Luke and Tychicus. And because of this, he has to send Tychicus on. And so all he's got right now is Luke. Okay. But not only that, to make situations worse, the brother Alexander. But what does it say? Alexander is the one who hurt him. And the text said it hurt him. Did much, he said, he did much harm. I'm just going to find the text here. for what he said. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me a great harm. A great harm. Now, in my imagination, here's what I think happened. Alexander not only betrayed him, but he stole the stuff. And if he didn't steal his stuff, he messed up his stuff. Okay? So what he did was, not only did he go against the message and try to, but he literally tried to sabotage the whole ministry, which is why Paul had to say, hey, bring my books, bring my papers, bring my coat. He probably stole his clothes, messed up his books, messed up his messages, and stole his clothes. Okay, so Paul, man, nobody would have been mad at Paul if Paul decided to raise some hands and take down some folk. You get what I'm saying? I don't think anybody would have been mad at him because he was cut to the core, you see. But then what happens next? Paul says that at my first defense, no one came to my support, and all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. So Paul is not only deserted, but he's caught up with the authorities, But watch this. Paul asked God not to count it against his detractors. Paul is not focused on the deserters. He stays focused on the task at hand. So Paul is not concerned with how his help deserted him. What Paul is focused on is the message that has to get out. And so what I believe he's trying to tell you is that you don't get caught up in how folk desert you, how folk try to do you wrong, how folk leave you. Don't focus on that, but focus on the task at hand, which is to bring forth the word, which is to do what is right, to not be tired of doing good, and be forward to that. And the way to do that is to do what? Let it go. Let go of the anger. Let go. Forgive them. Let it go. And to focus on the message. So, because in order for the message to get out, Paul asked God not to be concerned with his companions, but to help him get the task done. Paul kept his eye on the main task and getting the word out, not getting distracted for the misdeeds of others. In other words, he did not miss the main thing because he was distracted with other things. Let me say that again. He did not miss the main thing by being distracted by other things. God, help me do what I came to do and not be concerned about the background noise. God, forgive them and let them go so that we can accomplish what we came to do. Get the word to the Gentile. So what happens? It says, but God stood by me, as Paul says, and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the mouth of the lion. The Lord will rescue me and from every evil attack, and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. Amen. Alexander may have caused Paul to have a run-in with the authorities, and then left him hanging. But Paul makes a choice not to focus on what was done to him. No. What he did was to will the truth, will the freedom from resentment under persecution. He chose to let go and let God handle it. The Lord gives you strength that you need. Rescued him from the popo and saved his heart for saved his heart from less weight so that he might enter into the kingdom. He chose to will the freedom from resentment. He chose to forgive rather than fight back. He chose to love rather than give hate. He chose to do what was written in Romans 12, 9 and 10. For it says, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, or hate being evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not add heaviness to your heart by giving in to evil, but forgive. Follow my heart. Keep your heart light with love. Follow my heart. Keep your heart light with patience. Keep your heart light with understanding. Keep your heart light with forgiveness. Follow my heart and take the weight off your heart. So, forgive so that you can float above the hate. Forgive so that you can love again. Forgive so you can grow the seeds of joy that heal your soul. Forgive so that you can get your balance back. Forgive so that you can get order back. This is my celebration, y'all. I want you to forgive so that you can let God's justice come in. Forgive so that you can forgive yourself. Forgive, say it with me. Forgive so that you can make room for God. Forgive so that you can make room for my heart. Let go the hate. Let go the pain. Let go the regret. Let go the hurt. Don't lag in your zeal. Be ardent in your spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Preserved in prayer. God forgave us, so let us forgive. God loves us, so let us love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. And if God can do that for us, then we can do that for anyone else. God gave his son so that he could die for us. But God's love is so great that we can't even understand it. So why can't we love each other so that we don't understand it? For God so loved the world, he gave his son, Jesus. And Jesus so loved us that he died for us. He went up on Golgotha and allowed himself to be killed so that we could have salvation. And so my heart gave us these principles so that we could go forth with a lighter heart. And so what I want to tell you today is that your most powerful weapon for your self-preservation is forgiveness. Your most powerful weapon for getting through trauma is forgiveness. The most powerful weapon coming from the divine is forgiveness. The most powerful weapon that God has given you for your substance is forgiveness. So I tell to you, forgive. Follow my heart, forgive. Follow God, forgive. Be strong, forgive. Be strong, forgive. Follow the Lord, forgive. No matter what they did, forgive. Even though they hurt you, forgive. Even though they did all amounts of evil for you, forgive. even though they were your friends and were supposed to stand by you, but yet they were the backstabbers. Forgive, 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 forgive. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Knight. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. Oh, my sister. He'll give you a brand new life. New life abundantly. If you learn how to forgive. That was the message that the preacher brought. To forgive. If there's anybody that you have aught against, you ought to forgive them right now and lighten your load so that your heart won't be as heavy. We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
Oh, my sister.
He'll bring you brand new life.
Brand new life.
New life abundantly.
Life,
yeah.
Abundantly.
Oh,
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 oh, come.
Oh, yeah.
Lord,
yeah,
to Christ.
We offer Christ. We offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh,
my brother.
We offer
Christ to you.
Oh, my sister.
Oh, my sister.
The door is open. You ought to come and take your seat. Oh, oh, oh,
oh.
You ought to come right now, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Tell the Lord thank you. Say thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Good God Almighty. Let us make our circle of responsibility. Nothing to lose but our chains. Are there any announcements? Fundamental Boxing and Karate on Wholeness Wednesday from 6 to 7, and Street Therapy Bible Study from 7 to 8 on Wednesday. And 9 to 10, the pathway to our 10th anniversary. Our monthly meeting is happening on Saturday, September 21st at 11 a.m. I want to see you all there so we can plan for this year and plan for a big anniversary, which will be our 10th anniversary coming up on the Sunday after Easter next year. So I want to keep that on your mind. It's our duty to fight for our freedom. It's our duty to win. We must love and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains. Oh, 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 yeah. It's our duty
to fight for our freedom.
It's our duty to win.
It's our duty to win.
We gotta love and support each other.
We gotta love and support each other.
We got nothing to lose.
We got nothing to lose but our chains.
It's our duty to fight.
We do fight for our freedom.
It's our duty to win.
It's our duty to win.
We gotta love and support each other. God, we thank you for this day, for the hand that we are holding to our right and to our left. We pray blessings upon. We pray the spirit of forgiveness to overtake us as we leave this place and go to our homes. We pray that no one will have broken in and stolen our stuff while we were worshiping. We ask, God, that you would give us journey graces and traveling mercy as we make our way to our different destinations. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this day. And we ask that you would allow the grace of God and the sweet communion of God's Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide with all of us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, and our soon coming King, sweet black Jesus. And it's for his sake that we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Ashe. 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 Oh. Now reach your hand high in the sky and pull down a handful of power and bring it into your body and shout, Harambe! 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 That means let's all pull together. And if we pull together, we'll be able to make it. Because we got nothing to lose but our chains. We have nothing to lose but our
chains. Nothing to lose. Nothing to lose but our
Yeah. Go in peace, and the peace of the Lord be with you.